I really do like to hear the brethren testify, though, or preach. I tell you, it's so beautiful to hear them talk about Jesus. He spoke a little bit about the light last night. It seems like it's cooling off a little bit. And we'll say a few things to you and try not to hold you long. I hope that we don't weary you in these things that we talk to you about. Really, they ain't no place much to go. You hurry home and you just get there and drink and eat till you wish you hadn't have done it. And then you get out and you ride. You go somewhere and it ain't worth 15 cents when you get through. And your day's wasted, your time's wasted, and it's a bad situation. So really, it's about the best thing that you can do. Well, to me, it is the best thing you can do. Is just listen to the word of the Lord. As I said, we won't be having our morning service tomorrow. We'll give you a break to get a few things done. And I want to read a little bit from the book of Jonah. We ain't got no Jonahs here. Somebody wrote me from over in the foreign fields and they said, Brother Pike, you said you was going to come. So now don't be a Jonah. Had a night vision last night, and we were in one of our ships out in the midst of the sea. Looked like the big ship. And we was out there on our way, looked like down into South America. How many of you like to hear the Lord talk? I love to hear Jesus talk. I was praying here. I remember one time I was down on my knees praying. How do you know the Lord will talk to you? That vision had a great meaning, I know, concerning that boat. I was out there in the middle of the waters, and all of a sudden it struck me that we were right in the middle of the ocean. And you know how the devil begins to talk to your mind? And I got a hold of myself and I said, no, by faith we'll make it. Everything was going along fine, wasn't nothing wrong. But I said, by faith, we're going to be right where we're heading. God's going to take us right to the spot. Ain't nothing going to happen. Boy, you could feel the boat, you know, going up and down with them big waves. I was praying one night, I remember, or praying. On my knees praying. And I got up and I turned to walk down to the other end of the hallway. And as I walked, I looked. I was just walking along, you know, like anybody. I'd just been praying and got up off of my knees. And when I did, I looked and there was a woman come meeting me. And when I looked, The woman had nothing on except, I couldn't see her just from her waist up, nothing ungodly about it as far as me seeing her, no protrusion of the body whatsoever. But I was made to know that she had one strip of clothing from here across down, and she didn't have anything here and anything here. As I walked back toward the back of the house, I thought, my God, what is that? And I looked, and you know, I just shook it out of my mind. I thought, Lord, for sure, that's the way it is. And you know, it wasn't long after that, just shortly after that, I come right up face to face with that woman, and there she was, dressed exactly like I had seen her in the vision as I walked down the hall. God will talk to you, and God will let you know things. And he lets you know that because he doesn't like that. He doesn't like those kind of things, especially when it is a woman that professes Christianity, or it is a man, Brother Thomas, that professes Christianity. The Lord doesn't like it when they do those kind of things. So those things have great meanings. The Lord talks to us and lets us know what's going on. From the book of Jonah, chapter 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for what, whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence cometh thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hath done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and cried, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. But thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. And all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways. Their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a goad and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the goad, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the goad that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the goad? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the goad, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, and that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? If you notice, this story is a beautiful story concerning Christ. From the very beginning of it, it portrays Christ. It shows that Jonah is caught in a bad circumstance that he can't escape. And it's got Jonah in a place to where he can't lie because he's a straight man. And here's a beautiful picture of Jesus. Here's the Lord made sin, even our sin. And here Jonah is, going contrary to God, just as it would be with Jesus, as having been made sin. Jonah seems to be going exactly opposite of what God would have him to do. And yet he's not going contrary to the extent that the preparation of man's heart is from God, and God creating the good and the evil, having his way in both, working all things after the counsel of his own will. Here God has prepared Jonah's heart to go contrary to what he has said, that he might give us a beautiful type of the life of the Lord Jesus. And so then we see Jonah, he's caught out here in the midst of the wrath of God. Jesus, having been made sin, caught in the midst of the wrath of God. And here the people are, they're saying, Jonah, what are you doing? And the wrath of God is coming upon him. And here they're getting ready to throw him overboard. And they tried not to do it. But see, the Bible says that with wicked hands they crucified the Savior. With wicked hands they did it. But yet the Bible said God delivered him to be crucified. So then we esteem him smitten of God. And here these men are, and these men are saying, oh Lord, don't lay this sin to our charge. That is, don't let us be guilty of blood. So then God, being merciful, not wanting them to be guilty of blood, he prepared a great fish that Jonah should not die. Therefore they would not be guilty of killing Jonah, because God took care of Jonah in that it was the act of God. But here's a great sovereignty seen within Jonah. And Jonah is saying, throw me overboard to save the people, then I must die. Jesus, to save the people, then I must die. And the Bible said, as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. As to this sign, when they asked him for a sign, they said, what sign givest us? Giveth thou to us that ye are the Christ, or the Son of God? He said, there won't be any sign to this sinful generation except the sign of Jonah, which means the sign of the resurrection. I'll give you one sign, and that sign is the sign of the resurrection. As it was with Jonah, so shall it be with the Son of Man. That is to say, I'll give you one sign. They're going to nail me to a cross. They're going to take away my life. They're going to do away with me. And he said, this is your sign, that when you see me crucified, buried, and resurrected, this is your sign. And there won't be any other sign to this sinful generation. Folks, we've got a sign today. We might run after signs, and that the Bible said that a sinful, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but God has given us one sure sign, and that is the sign of the resurrection. We have the power to pass from death into life if we're willing to follow God. If we're willing to follow the Lord, then we can pass from death into life. But we must follow God to be able to pass from death unto life. There's a sign that God has given unto you, and that sign is the sign of the resurrection. So then it is as it was with Jonah. Jonah went down. He left the world of light. He went into a world of darkness. And into this world of darkness Jonah remained until he cried from the belly of hell, he said, unto God. This is the condition of you today and the condition of me as natural people. See, through the fall of Adam, through the fall of Eve, as to our natural origin, as to our natural birth, we've fallen from that great, wonderful world of light, and we've fallen into a world of darkness. And that great world of light that we spoke on last night, or spoke concerning last night, we've fallen from that great world, fallen into this world of darkness, and here we are in this world of darkness until we call upon the name of Jesus, until we call upon the Lord. And it is when we call upon the Lord that we find the sign of the resurrection. We find that God can bring us forth from that world of darkness, that world of intellectual darkness. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. See, from darkness unto light, from intellectual darkness, people are in a great world of human reasoning, a great world of human lust. Their intellectual powers are pulling at them, and they are caught within that world of intellectual lust. And this intellectual darkness has swallowed them up. Satan, the prince of this world, the one that's responsible as to the fall, the tree of knowledge, Satan is the god of this world, and he's ruling this world. And the Bible said the children of disobedience, or the children of this world, are taken into captivity at his will. Just any time he gets ready to take them into captivity, he swallows them up. See, because he is the god of this world, he's the prince of this world, and he does what he wants to when he gets ready with the children of disobedience. You look up here at me, some of you, you're looking here at me while I'm ministering. See these lights, as they video these bright lights around me. These lights, the great light coming out, it lifts the image up, it magnifies the image, it illuminates the image, it glorifies the image. See, when you go to look for light, you can't find light. There's no way to find light. Like scientists say, see, you can't see light. There's no way you can see light. Light cannot be seen, and yet light is there. So then the only way, as I've said in time gone by, for me to be able to see light, there's got to be some shadow somewhere. This is what happened to Jonah. There was a shadow that came over Jonah to keep the light away, to keep the wrath of God away, as we say. A shadow. The Bible said, and it shall come to pass, it shall be as a great shadow in a weary land, a hiding place for a man, a covert from the storm. God has allowed the shadows to come, that we might hide in the shadows until that day of the great revealing, until the day of the rent veil, until the day of the separation of the shadows, the moving away of the shadows. And see in our heart and in our mind, those intellectual shadows fall across our pathway. God, looking down from heaven, looks upon this place. And as I say, he sees a great valley. And this valley, it's a valley because he's looking down from heaven. And this valley is filled with shadows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. thy staff, thy rod, that is the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. They comfort me while I'm down in the valley of this world, walking through the shadows of evil spirits. These shadows fall across my pathway. Though I'm beneath these shadows that I walk through this valley, that is to say, there is a place that's contrary between me and God. That place is up there, that middle wall of partition. When the angel came sweeping down from heaven, Daniel had fasted, Daniel had prayed, Daniel had called upon God. He'd asked for God to come and help him. He'd asked for God to come and bless him. He said, God, tell me what's going to befall my people in the end time. And the angel of God heard Daniel, and he came sweeping down like the light, coming down out of heaven. Remember, angels are like lights. When the shepherds were on the hillside, and the angel appeared to the shepherds, a great light shined round about them. And when Paul was on his way to Damascus, then a great light shined round about him, an angel, an inspiration. See, this great light comes. Now, I know when we think of light that we see around us. But remember, light means understanding. Darkness is ignorance. So then when God speaks of light and God speaks of darkness, he doesn't see it as you and I see it. It is a darkness. It is an ignorance. It is a light. It is an understanding. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the height, the depths, the width, and the length of what God is doing. So then, the more we comprehend, the more we're in the light. That's why the Bible uses the term that when the Ancient of Days comes, even the great light, that all of the earth will flee away. Even the mountains will be gone. The sea will be gone. There will be nothing left there. Everything will be gone because of the coming of the great light. So then when the angel came sweeping down out of heaven like the speed of light, all of a sudden in coming down, there was that great interference. Satan blocked the angel. In that middle wall of partition, he stopped him. Daniel down here in the earth, God up here in heaven, and Daniel praying, trying to break through that barrier, trying to get to God, trying to find out why the Babylonian captivity and what God was going to do for his people. And that angel came sweeping down. As that angel came down out of heaven, Satan intervened. Satan interfered. Satan coming there, and he stopped the angel. When those powers of Satan came in, when those fallen angels came in, the angel that swept down with the answer was no match for them, being an angel. But see, thousands of demons, thousands of fallen angels, those angels interfered and they stopped it, and the angel couldn't break through. So the angel had to return and go back and get reinforcement. He went back and got help. He got more angels. And then according to the Bible, those angels swept down. And when they came into battle, they broke through the barrier, went down to Daniel and stood before Daniel and said, Daniel, we've got you the answer. Said, we heard you the first time that you prayed, Daniel, but said we couldn't get to you. Said the prince interfered. Like we say, the prince of Persia hindered. All this prince over here, we say the prince of Persia. You say, what do you mean by the prince of Persia? We mentioned this here one night, the prince of Persia. That means that the devil owns this world. He's got control of this world. And there, Persia, Medo-Persia, he had given that thing under the charge of some angelic force so that that angelic force could keep that thing for his kingdom, for Lucifer's kingdom, and have the power and rule like a captain over it, like a great leader over it. And when that angel started to come down, the angel of God, then the angel of Lucifer, knew that if that angel got down there to Daniel, Daniel was a power in the earth. And if Daniel could communicate with heaven and get those answers as he did in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, that it was going to be a bad time for his kingdom. And this prince of Persia that was placed over that thing there, under the rule of Lucifer, was disturbed. He was really upset because he knew that if that angel broke through and got to Daniel, it was going to interrupt his whole kingdom. It was going to cause him problems. And he said, I tried to get down here. I wanted to get to you, but the prince of Persia interfered with it. So then that's the way it is today. We may pray to God. We may call on God. But see, there's powers that interfere. There's demon spirits that interfere. And a lot of times they hold up the things that God is trying to do for us. And then we get weary. We stop fasting. We stop praying. We weaken down, and then the angels overpower us. And the darkness of unbelief covers us. And we find ourselves a helpless prey in the hands of Lucifer. God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to break through. It's not that God doesn't hear us. The Bible said that God heard Daniel immediately. It isn't that God don't hear us. But the thing is that there is an interference. We've got to realize that there's powers with the devil. There's a great power. There's a great force. There's a lot of angels that fight against us. Though God sends his angels, and his angels are ministering spirits to them and for them that are heirs of salvation. But we've got to remember, even though they're down here, that Lucifer also sends his evil powers. See, in the Bible said, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. When we unite, as Brother Thomas said tonight, when we come together as a power, when Brother Thomas takes my hand and I take his hand and Buddy takes another hand and we take John's hand and Brother Taylor's hand and all of us come together, then when we begin to come together, the strength of God begins to come and the great light begins to unveil and the knowledge of God begins to increase. Because in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. And when we begin to come together like that, that great, wonderful light begins to spread out everywhere. And everything begins to brighten up and the creatures of darkness begin to back off. Like as when the day star of the sun comes over the horizon. When it comes over the horizon, those creatures of the darkness, they begin to back off. I've been out in the woods by myself and I've been praying, you know, all through the night, there would be the darkness. And the creatures, just as darkness closed in, the creatures would begin to come around. You could hear the old owl, and you could hear those things mourning in the background there. And you could tell that those terrifying creatures was in the darkness. And it gave you the jitters, you know. It really is frightening unless you got God. And then you take courage and you pray and you believe. And you keep on praying, you keep on praying. You say, oh my God, it's dark. I've seen it when the clouds would be there and the moon would be gone and everything would be dark. We say it's 49 black cats, as somebody said. And there you'd be praying, you'd be in the darkness, see. But you just keep on. You get nervous. Sometimes you get jittery. But you just keep on praying, keep on praying. And after a while, something begins to happen. All of a sudden, something begins to break forth. And you say, oh my God, there's hope. And then suddenly, after praying and staying with it, calling on God, about that time, the day star begins to come into sight. The Bible said we should hold on to God. We should pray to God until the day star breaks through and dawns within our heart. And so then, all of a sudden, it would break forth, and oh, how happy that makes you. How happy you are when the day begins to break, when the daylight begins to come, that darkness begins to move away. And then you've got the victory. You feel strong in God then. You stand up and you praise God. And you think, hallelujah, I made it. Glory to God, I made it. Standing all night long, standing through the darkness, waiting for that wonderful touch from God. Somebody say hallelujah. So then Daniel, he didn't give up. Daniel just kept on praying. Oh, Brother Jonah in the belly of the whale, that was a bad situation. Jonah said, I looked toward the temple one more time. I knew I'd done wrong. I knew I'd done got into problems. I was down there in the world of the darkness. I'd gone down to the bottom of the deep. Darkness was about me. I didn't have any light. But he said, I kept on praying. I kept on talking to God. I'll ask him to forgive my sins. And God will do something for me. Jonah kept on looking toward the temple of God. He kept on crying out. And all of a sudden, God said to that whale, get out of this deep. Go up there to the bank. Jonah took him up there to the bank, just beat him out. But did you notice? It doesn't matter. You can go down there. You can get in trouble. You can say, oh my God, Lord help me. Lord, if I ever get out of here, I'll never do it again, God. And there was Jonah. Got back in the world of light. Everything was all right. Jonah said, praise God, thank you, Lord, I'll do right from now on. And the Lord let something happen. Jonah said, I'm mad about it. Ain't that something?
And here he was, God delivered him from death. God took him out of the belly of the whale. He said, from hell I cried, and God lifted me up. And God got him out of there. And then he stood over there and pouted and said, why don't you just kill me? Can you imagine a man being like that? That's the way it is, folks. We've got to get right with God. We've got to hold on to God. We've got to get straightened out with God if we ever intend to do something for God. We can't do like that. That's displeasing to God. God doesn't want us, he doesn't want us to act like Jonah. He doesn't want us to do that. Every time, you know, people, they'll shirk away. They'll hide away over here. They don't want to get too close to you because they're afraid you might give them something to do. They're afraid you might give them a charge unto the Lord. So they back off. They go do their own thing. You know, but what you need to do is yield your heart up. Need to yield your life up. Need to yield everything up to God and tell God what he wants you to do. That's what you want to do. So then, light. We get away from the light. You can't see the light. See, the light has to be revealed to you. You can't see the light. There's darkness all around. See, and where there's total darkness, there's no light. And then where there's total light, there's no darkness. But see, the world wants to mix darkness and light. You can't do that. When you go to try to mix darkness and light, you bring shadows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lucifer, a bright, shining angel, a great reflector of the glory of God, and all of a sudden he's cast out. And then that light is still there because he is a light. And the Bible calls it a dark light. A light because he has had a knowledge of the right thing. And now he is a rule of the darkness. So then he retains that knowledge of the right things as to the reflection, as to the memory of it. So then he is still a light. But the Bible called that a light, a dark light. And he said, if that light within you be darkness, how great is the darkness of that light? So then you get that darkness within you. You get an intellectual reasoning within you. You become a religious parasite. Then when you get in there as a religious parasite, you won't go on with God. You won't live holy. You won't get in the light. You won't walk in the light as God's in the light. Neither are you back in the darkness. You're neither hot nor cold. And then you get in between. And that's where the problem comes in. The Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus didn't have any trouble out of those people that were cold out there that was away from God, that knew nothing about godliness. He didn't have any trouble with them people that was over there on fire for God. He didn't have any problem with that. But them that was in between, those, that was the middle wall of petition. Those were the problems. You know, they stood at the door, they wouldn't go in, and everybody else coming, they hindered. And that's the way it is in the religious world today. See, Jonah wouldn't go on with God. He was religious. He said he had the call on his life, but he was going the opposite way. Instead of going the way God wanted him to. You know, the world today, they've got to go to the ball games. They've got to go to the frolics of the world. They've got to do the things of the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They've got to sit under television sets and see the lust of the world. When the Bible tells us to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But see, people do it anyway. So then this was the way with Jonah. And Jonah wound up in hell, as he said. In the belly of hell, he said, I cried. Went down to the bottom of the mountains. That's what happens. See, when you don't walk with God, then you get in trouble. The first thing you know, you're overwhelmed by the darkness and you can't find any light. You're shut up. You're cut off. And you can't find that light. But people who walk in the light, the Bible said if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all of your sins. So then we can't see the light, as scientists say. We can't see it unless there is darkness somewhere around. But God has so suffered darkness to come into the world. He so suffered sin and sorrow and heartaches to come into the world that it might form the shadows to reveal the light, that we might see the light and comprehend the light. Had not the shadows come, we could have never comprehended God. That's why God allowed man to fall from the garden. He wanted man to comprehend God. For to be God, you must comprehend God. I could never be God unless I comprehended God. I must comprehend God. See, because the power of transformation in my mind. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. I must comprehend a light to be part of light. The Bible said in Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light, he hath the immortality, and no man can come to God except through that blood. No man can get into that light but Jesus Christ. I must be bone of his bone. I must be flesh of his flesh. I must be part of Jesus if I'm to dwell in that light. I say again, not light as you see with your natural eyes, which is only a symbol. Not that kind of light, but the light of comprehending, the light of understanding, the great light of the knowledge of God, moving higher and higher in the school of wisdom ever let me go. Far up into the wonderful heavenlies, into the light of God and the greatness of God, getting more light, more understanding, becoming greater and greater in the knowledge of God, understanding the great mysteries of God, moving into that world of light, becoming eternal. We're moving, our spiritual being is moving into that light. The Bible said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. So then this inner man is moving into the light. God is moving him on into the light. The shadows has come to reveal God to me. God let Eve fall, let Adam fall, so that the shadows would come around. These shadows coming around would be able to reveal God to me. If I could feel the sting of sorrow, I could know joy. If I could feel the sting of death, I could know life. If I could come into the heartaches and woes and miseries of this life, I could understand God and his great attributes. Whatever, wherever there is that which is salty, it reveals to us that there is something sweet. And wherever there's something bitter, it reveals to us that there's something that is just exactly the opposite. Wherever there's heartaches, it makes us to know that there is joy somewhere. And it takes that of the light against the shadows that we might be able to comprehend. So then we see the shadows, we can't see the light. So then when the shadows come, then the light is there. I look out here in the front of me and I see the shadows falling because the light is up here. I could say to you, I could say, hey, you don't have any light out there in the audience. But see, that's not true. You do have light out there, but your light in the audience is not as great as my light up here. See, your light in the audience is the light, and your eyes are accustomed to that light. And if I told you that you didn't have any light, you wouldn't believe that. See, but if I turn on these lights that's so much greater and brighter than your light, then you can see the difference. You can see where the shadows strike, and you can see the greater light. So there is a greater light. God is a greater light, a light that is so great that I made the statement the other night. For God to even create the world, he had to recede, he had to back off. When he said, let there be, he had to back off. Because he was so bright. God is so bright. God is so perfect. God is so much the everything that God could create nothing in his presence. He is so much greater than anything that he could create that he can't create nothing in his presence. So what he has to do is back off. If he's going to create anything, he has to back off and let that lesser light be there so that thing can come into existence. Because he is so bright, he is so brilliant, that anything he created would go into nothing. So then we're told at the end of the great millennium that this great Ancient of Days comes forth. This great light comes forth. When this light comes forth, all of creation is gone. See, nothing can be in his presence. He's so much greater than everything else. He is so perfect. So when he comes forth, the sea is no more. When he comes forth, the mountains are no more. When he comes forth, the heavens are no more. See, so he had to back off in the garden. He had to let Eve be deceived. Had to let the shadows fall. So as to back off, that creation might come into view, as we say. And this which we refer to as being tangible had to come forward. And so then, that's why that Solomon said that all is vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Lying vanities, he said. Like walking in the night and the moonlight shining. And there's everything around. But all of a sudden when the day star comes, when the great light comes, once the light comes, the shadows begin to go away. They begin to dissipate. And then all of that that we thought was the act of creation is nothing more than lying vanishes. And the light penetrates and it all dissipates and everything passes away. The mountains, the heavens, the earth, everything passes away. And we say, my God, that wasn't a world at all. That was just what we refer to as the world of lying vanishes. And Satan was the god of that world. And now it's gone and Satan's gone. Now the true light shineth. The true light shineth. Seeing all them things that we couldn't hardly make out. All of that dimness we couldn't hardly tell anything about. All of a sudden, there it is, that inner man. That shadow has passed away. And that Christ, that living one, that perfect one, the members of his body on the inside, there they are all of a sudden. And you see the beauty of that great light. And you see those sons of God that outshine the noonday sun. Unveiled. Taken away everything that's a hindrance. See, it is so beautiful to know that you, if you are unveiled as one son of God, shall outshine the noonday sun. So then, though we cannot see the sinner man, yet he is renewed day by day. He is great and he is powerful and he is mighty. And he's growing, is great. He's growing in the light. Now 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, going to a full reward. Whatever your measure is, God will let you be that. Whatever you want to be. Doesn't matter with God, but you can go into the full measure. Moving on, as we say, to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So then we're moving on in that great, wonderful life. This is why I love Revelation the way I do. This is why I love the Word of God. Read that Bible through, got down on my knees. Read it through, you know, or read the New Testament through. And that's good. All that's wonderful. But see, it's got to turn into spirit and into life. That word is spirit, then that word is life. And we've got to turn that word into spirit and into life. It's not just the law of the letter that killeth, but it is spirit and it is life. And it must come forth as spirit and life. They said, never man spake like this man, said his words are with power. He commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. He spoke to the dead, and the dead come up. The lame, and they walked, the deaf, and they heard, the blind, and they begin to see. Never man spake like that man. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. They are spirit. See, this is what we got to come to. This great word of spirit, this great word of life. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want to come to that great, wonderful godliness, that spirit of life, that word of life. I want to be able to speak the words of life. I want this word unveiled. I don't just want it in the natural book. I enjoy it in the natural book. You know, but if this book passed away, if this book was no more, then I'd want to have that word of life. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. See, the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. It wasn't a pen, piece of paper that had been penned with ink. It wasn't something like that. It wasn't what we call the Bible, or the Bible, the word Bible means a collection of books. It wasn't that. But there was something that came from glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. It was the word of the Lord that came straight down out of heaven. And the Bible said, and the heavens declared his handiwork. And he set the stars and the moon and all there for signs and for seasons. And there it was, the wonderful word of God. Elijah would be walking along. Moses would be walking along. And all of a sudden, some would say, Elijah! And the Bible said that small, still voice, Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? And then God would begin to speak to him. God would begin to unveil. Now, folks, that's living to me. That's when you live. You know, eating and drinking and frolicking and going around the world, people admiring you and you admiring them. That's all right. That's nothing wrong with that. That's good if you want to do that. But when you come to real, genuine, godly living, it's when that word begins to unveil itself to you. And you say, oh my God, and you sigh. You know, the prophet said, go through the city and mark every one of them that sigh. And that spirit begins to come to you and something on the inside begins to build her up and you begin to sigh in your spirit. Something begins to make you sigh. What is it? It's the revelating of that light. It's the coming forth of that light. It's that great light. See, God, the Word, spoke the world into existence. And the world is in your heart today. And it's in existence today. The world, as I said in my message yesterday. See, the world is in your heart. God spoke it into existence. But see, here we come again now. Here's God again, and God's speaking again. The Bible said not be the minister speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within him. And here he is again now. He's speaking again. What is God doing? He's speaking the world out of existence. God spoke the world into existence by his word. Now he's unveiling the word, speaking to your heart, and he's speaking the world out of existence. And that which you thought was a tree is no more a tree. It represented something. The Bible said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. And so then those things are here. And now we see everything in the natural is just a type of something. And so then when we begin to have understanding, it begins to revelate to us. The preacher speaks to us, or God speaks to us. Then he's speaking the world out of our heart. And we're changing worlds, folks. We're moving from glory to glory. The Bible said, as one that beholdeth himself in a glass, as with open face. And he sees that image of God, and he's coming into the wonderful image of God, moving on into the great, wonderful person of Jesus Christ. The Lord said in the morning, I'll hate your image. I'll despise your image in the morning. What is the morning? The breaking of the day. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Are you listening? And the evening and the morning was the first day. So then we see a night. And then it says, as to the second act of God, and the evening and the morning was the second day. Isn't that right? And always from evening through the night till the morning. So then we say, from the creation of the world, from Adam and Eve, all the way over to Calvary, and the evening and the morning, and it was the first day. And Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. And he said, if you overcome, I will give you the bride and the morning star. For I will put the day star within your heart, even the Lord Jesus Christ. If you overcome, I'll give you that hidden manna, even the revelation of Jesus Christ. Overcome this old body. Overcome the infiltration of Lucifer. Overcome the flesh. And I'll give you the mind of Christ. And so then, from the evening until the morning was the first day. God said, I'll hate your image in the morning. If you're nothing but the first birth, if you're that old bastard child of the first birth, nothing but that of the fallen Adam, as in Adam all die, he said, I'll hate your image in the morning. But if you've been born again, if you come into that second birth, if you're born in the image of Jesus Christ, the outer man perish, yet that inner man is the man from heaven, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And God sees that image, and you're conforming to that image, and you change into his likeness. Everyone that hath the hope of Christ within him shall be like him at his coming, for we shall see him as he is, and be changed into the wonderful image of the Son of God. So then we are not children of darkness, but we're children of light. That day shall not come upon us unaware, but we shall know when it's nigh, even at hand. So then, what's happening? The true light now shining, a more sure word of prophecy. That darkness is backing off now. That old intellectual concept of mine as to what God was, as to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, as the one God and two gods and three gods. See, the darkness is backing off now. And then the light is coming. That is but one God. See, and as the darkness backs away, in the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. So then when we look, the corruption of the world is backing away. My thoughts toward the things of the world and the frolic, all of those things that I'm subject to as the vanity, I'm beginning to get a light. I'm beginning to see that that's wrong. See, and the world is passing away. The world and the lust thereof shall pass away. All of it's passing away. See, I don't have the world in my heart anymore. I came in contact with God. I was born again. So I don't have the world in my heart anymore. What do I have in my heart then? I have the kingdom of God in my heart. See, he spoke the world out of existence. He took the world out of my heart. And he placed the kingdom of God within me. And today the kingdom of God is within my heart. I've got God on the inside of my heart now. So then, here I am tonight, filled with God, filled with the presence of the Lord, filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And here I am with the kingdom of God on the inside of me. The kingdom of God is within me. The world isn't there anymore. So then, what is the kingdom of the world? It's the mind of the first man, Adam.
It's the mind of the first man, Adam. It's carnal. And to be carnally minded is death. For in Adam all die. For the sentence of death is in that mind. For in that mind it says, and the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that mind retains that. That mind heard that. That mind's been passed down. See, the carnal mind. And it said, and thou shalt surely die. And it's in that mind. But then when I get out of that mind, I get into the mind of Christ. I'm born to the second man, Adam. I'm regenerated. I'm taken to a new generation. And then I'm in the mind of God. And there in the mind of God, there's a word of light that comes to me. And that word comes to me, and that word says, thou hast passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. He that believeth on me is passed from death unto life. I've got that mind tonight, hallelujah. Let's give God a hand. Hallelujah. We've got that mind tonight. Pass through that world tonight. Hallelujah. Having been transformed by the renewing of our minds. Come into that great, wonderful world. And so then here we are in that world. And I've got an ordination unto life. Not an ordination unto death, but an ordination unto life. So then I'm in that great world of life. Let me say just a few more things and we're going to try to close. Light. Thoughts of darkness. Thoughts of light. What is light? Light is an illumination. What is that? My thoughts. When my thoughts are illuminated, then the anointing is there. The anointed word. See, the anointed thought. The illumination comes into my mind. The presence of God. What happened to Adam and Eve? The presence of God withdrew. The light left. Their thoughts wasn't illuminated anymore. Their strength, their faith. See, wasn't illuminated anymore, like Moses, like Stephen. See, but when this great illumination comes, that illumination comes within my heart. See, from the kingdom of God on the inside. And that illumination comes in. When that illumination comes in, my thoughts light up. This is the way you see angels. This is the way you see in heaven. John said, a door is open in heaven. What happened to John? He was down on the earth praying. All of a sudden, the anointing of God came. When the anointing of God come over John, began to move into John, then his thoughts were illuminated, and all of the world went away. The darkness, the vanity, all passed away. And John said, my God, there's a door open in heaven. There's a door. Folks, when you get into the anointing, when you get into the revelation, when you begin to move with God, the veil of darkness passes away, and the veil is rent. And there is a way into the holies of holies. The blood of Jesus has atoned for it. And when that veil of darkness moves away, then you move right into them heavenly places. That's why I say to you tonight, rejoice ye that are in heaven. And that's why I say to you, the Bible said, and ye are not of the world. I have chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God. Whom the heavens have received until the millennium, the restoring of all things. So then, where are we tonight? Ye that dwell in heaven, he said, rejoice. You're not in the earth. You're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. See, so you're not in the mind of the flesh. So you're not in the flesh. You're in the mind of Christ. So you're in heaven. So then you're walking in the spirit. You couldn't please God if you was in the flesh. And so then, here we are, brothers and sisters of God. Where are we at tonight? In heaven. Sitting in the heavenly places. God has made us set together in heavenly places. Isn't that right? If I was in California, you'd be in California places. In Georgia, you're in Georgia places. But folks, when you're in heaven, you're in heavenly places. Let's give God a hand, can't we? Hallelujah. So then we're in heaven. Glory to God, we're in heaven. God has placed us in that wonderful place. Oh, glory. Let's give him another hand. Every time I think about Jesus, I think about giving him a hand and praising God. Why is that? Oh, how wonderful it is to be a Christian. To be in them heavenly places, to get into that great world, to go through that door. What a wonderful thing that is. So then, Jonah said, I cried out of the belly of hell. I cried and the Lord heard me. And all of a sudden, he was back in that world of light. He was back in that world of light. Tonight, are you in the world of light? If you're in your intellectual darkness, you're not in the world of light. You got to be in that revelation. You got to be in that divine understanding. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The Bible tells us to do that. See, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Pray that God will give you the light.
Glory to God. Walk in the light, Brother Taylor says. Walk in the light. Hallelujah. Shining upon us from heaven so bright. So then in the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. Have you seen any of that light? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So then if we're children of light, we should be walking in the light. If you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you dwell in that light. No man can approach unto that. No man can spot you. No man can charge anything against you. So then our thoughts become illuminated. To be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our thoughts become illuminated, and they become the mind of Christ. Then we look out there and we see them visions before us. We see them visions through the mind of Christ. We look out there and we discern those spirits. We look out there and we find that faith of Christ in the mind of Christ that brings that miracle to people. See, we find that faith of Christ that sanctifies us in the mind of Christ. And we find that that raptures us away, that changes us. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then it's so wonderful to walk in the light. Hallelujah. We'll walk in the light. Great, wonderful light of God shining down from heaven. That great, wonderful light. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. So then we're here tonight to learn more about the light, to walk in the light, to be a creature of light, to know what's happening. If you walk in the light, then you can know what's happening. Isn't that right? So then, look out there through the mind of Christ, illuminated with the Spirit of God, and you find that you're not in that world anymore of yesterday. You're not in that world. See, you remember last night? No yesterday, no tomorrow with God. God said, I am. No more confusion about how old he is. Has nothing to do with it. God is not controlled by governing principles of mankind. Principles of time, that is time principles, God have nothing to do with it. He's not, he doesn't even relate to it. See, God is now. He was, he is, forever shall be. Today is the day the Lord has made. This is God. God is here. God is now. God forever shall be. God always was. God shall be. On and on and on. Isn't that wonderful? It's not how old he is. There's no age with God. Time is something that comes from man. A figment of imagination of man. That's something that man has said. God has nothing to do with time. Isn't that right? So then where is God? He's right here. Where's God always been? Right here. Paul said, I declare this God to you that you ignorantly worship. His name's Jesus. He's above you. He's in you. He's through you. He's everywhere. God filleth thee all in all. So then God is here. God is. God was. God's still here. See, how old is God? Has nothing to do with that. God doesn't go by age. God doesn't go by time. And that's why the Bible tells us that God, in the book of Revelation, God said in the angel, will declare that time shall be no more. Do away with time. Revelation 10 and 7, and when he speaks. Revelation 11, 15, the Bible said, and he did speak. Or when he sounds. Revelation 11, 15 said, and he did sound. And when he sounds, the Bible said, and the mysteries of God should be finished. And the Bible said he did sound, and a voice from heaven cried out. He cried out, now the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Well, the last trumpet sound, the mysteries had been finished. What was that? Doing away with time. Doing away with time. Watched he finish the mysteries. There wasn't no more time. Wow, that makes me want to skip and jump and run and holler. I'm sure some of you don't understand what I'm saying. See, when time's gone, death is gone. Once death is gone, time is gone. There is no death without time. And when time is no more, there's no more death. I just wish we had time to explain those things. Going into that, what is death anyway? What is life anyway? What is light anyway? What is darkness anyway? Just to go into that and to explain it, to understand it. Hallelujah. It makes you just want to skip like a little lamb. The Bible said it, and at his word said that the mountains begin to skip like little lambs. I can understand why. Because right now, I'm just a skipping. Hallelujah. I'm just a jumping. I'm a praising God. I'm rejoicing in my spirit. And I feel like a little mountain, a little lamb just skipping along, you know. Just so happy because the light is in there. I'm in that world of light. I'm in that world of rapture. I'm in that world of purity. I'm in that world of virtue. Glory to God. Living in that other dimension, I'm in heaven. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about how beautiful heaven must be. Hallelujah. Home of the happy and free. I read of a place called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be.
Glory to God. If you could understand heaven, folks. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord? Okay, we're going to close out in just a few minutes. I'm feeling better and better. So then, we are creatures of light. We are creatures of light, born to the light, walking in the light, living in the light. We are of the light, not under the Shekinah light as Adam. Nothing can entice us out. The beast part can't entice us out. The old body can't lead us out. We're born to the light. It's on the inside this time. It's on the inside this time. Now, a lot of you are still under the light as the Shekinah, just because the blood, the grace on the seat of atonement. You're still under that, see, and one day that'll lift. The beast part's going to lead you out from under it. That old bodily part, you know, is going to lead you out from under it. Isn't it right? The Bible said in all the world wondered after the beast. And the Bible said some are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Isn't that right? All the world wondered after the lipstick and the pattern, the paint, the gullible desires. And all of their labor was for the belly because God put the old serpent on his belly. Somebody say praise the Lord. See, but we're children of God. Hallelujah. We've got manna to eat that they don't know nothing about. We overcome and God feeds us with this heavenly manna. Moses on the mountain, 80 days eating of the heavenly manna. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. Don't get afraid. I'm going to stop. But I tell you what, I'm just feeling like preaching. You know, you just get started along about here. I took real courage, John. Hot. That old body says, let's get out of here. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to stand up with me. We want to love the Lord a little bit. So good to be a Christian. My, there's so many things I'd like to say tonight. Say a little bit tonight, a little bit yesterday, a little bit tomorrow. So beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy that publishes peace, saying unto you a Savior is born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith. Have you got faith? Do you have faith in God? Jesus said, have faith in God. Whatever you do, have faith in God. Don't yield up your faith. Have faith in God. Folks, something good is here. Something good is coming. Something good is moving. You can have the desires of your heart if you have faith in God. But you got to have faith. Have faith in God. Let's sing that little chorus, Brother Taylor. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Can you sing it with me? Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Hallelujah, isn't that wonderful? Have faith in God. All you have to do is believe in God. While we're standing here tonight, while we're thinking over the glorious things of Jesus, while we're searching our hearts to see if we be in the faith, remember, mere believing is not faith. I remind you again. If you believe, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. But that doesn't mean you have faith. The devil's going to hell. He believes. He's a believer. But he don't have faith. Faith is believing in the Bible. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. When you believe the Word of God, that is faith. Many people believe they're going to heaven when they're going to hell. Many people believe they're healed when they're dying. Many people believe all kinds of things. They believe they're right when they're wrong. But when you believe the Word of the Lord, that's faith. The Bible tells us that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines and doctrines of devil, seducing spirits. But see, we're children of the light. We're children of God. Hallelujah. Let's sing another little chorus or two together, can we? How many know we're still in camp meeting? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bride and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me now. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it with me now. Oh, there's room at the cross. Can you come on now? At the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You want to sing it with me again? And while we're singing, if you'd like to come to the altar, well, just come on down to the altar. The altars are open for you to come down any time. And if you'd like to come, come on down to the altar. Sing it again with me now. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing it again? Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sweet over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Do you love Him? Let's sing this little chorus. While we sing this, let's just step out and come down the altar tonight. Let's sing it, Brother Taylor. The unveiled face. Give me another key. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Sing it like this, baby. Oh, let Thy will be done. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that I see Thy Holy One. And our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let Thy will be done. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me.
I know it was the hand of the Lord. Well, while I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Everything gonna be all right. Gonna be all right. Jesus came, saved my soul. Everything gonna be all right. Gonna be all right. Gonna be all right. Save my soul, everything gonna be all right. So let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Let us love Him. Love Him when the sun going down. You love the Lord? You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. They put old Paul in the Roman jail. Paul didn't have no one to go his bail. But when the Lord got ready, he had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. For when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. They put old Daniel in the lion's den, and poor old Daniel didn't have a friend. But when the Lord got ready, they had to move, they had to move, they had to move. Move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. For when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and love the Lord. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus. Well, I looked over the Jordan and what did I see? It was coming to carry me home. It was the band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Sing it with me now. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. They're coming. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Don't you just love Jesus? Let's sing another chorus or two, can we? Let's try another chorus or two, right? What about the chorus that'll come from the east to the west? Let's sing this one together. They'll come from the east and the west. You can come up here if you want to. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Sing it again, can you? We'll come from the east and the west. We'll come from the lands afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Glory to God, I feel that quickening spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory. I feel God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's sing every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in his word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus. And time shall be no more. No more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land time shall be. Can you sing it again? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be.
shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land and time shall be no more.
We'll sing this one last chorus together and close.
Amazing grace, how sweet thy sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious that grace of it. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Sing it with me. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shiny crown. For when the battle is over, we're gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands again for Jesus. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Clap your hands, all of you people. God likes for you to clap your hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Hallelujah. Somebody say that. This thing goes on and off here. Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Hallelujah. Somebody say I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Hallelujah. Dad used to sing that song, Heaven is Closer Now Than It Was Yesterday. I thought I saw Danny back there, Brother Gonzalez's boy. Earlier I thought I saw him back there, but I guess he must have left. He and maybe the wife and children. You love Jesus? All right, let's lift our hands up together. It's been hot. But you know, this is when you really get a reward, folks. It's when you really press in and you persevere. Do something for God. This is when you really get a reward. That's when you carry a cross. All right, while you got your hands up, thinking on the goodness of God, I'm going to ask Brother Thomas. He's probably kind of tired preaching like he's been preaching, but I'm going to ask him to come and dismiss us anyway. You look at this brother as he comes and you just say, oh, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Lift them hands up, folks. Glory!